What say you, sir? What say you? Sounds like, oh,
we're doing it live.
You hit the button.
Hey, welcome to Entertain This. It's a podcast that's about movies, it's about TV shows, and video games. My name's Tom. With me, I have...
Mitch.
And...
Boomer Baggins!
I was just going to sit here and see how long before Tom would say something.
Secretly program that button.
It's like, Hayden!
But like, not like, you know, Hayden! Hayden Brennan! But it should be like just Hayden saying his name.
Hayden.
From one of the... Hayden. Hey, I'm Hayden.
Not a bad idea.
We need to go through and just find some like dopey catchphrases.
We can have our own little buttons. Hey, what do you think
about
that?
The Hayden soundboard.
What do you think about that?
Bah.
Yeah. Bah.
Everybody would be like, it's like he's there.
Anyways, you can go to our social media, which is at this entertain for our Twitter, or entertain.this for our Instagram. Our Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok are all entertaining this exclamation point. So, yeah.
You can go to all those things.
And, well, originally we had an interview scheduled, but I had a mishap with a person that I wanted to inflict physical harm on, but I decided not to. Mm. But my truck destroyed his car because he pulled out in front of me.
But in the process, the truck sustained damage.
Yeah. So it kind of derailed our interview that hopefully we can reschedule with the person for a later date, maybe next recording. But anyway, so our idea for today has kind of changed.
Our panic idea.
So me and Tom both have come up with 10 movies that we both feel are the most rewatchable. And
I don't say rewatchable. Well, but these are just a good watching movie.
It's movies that, like, you know, if you're flipping through.
You see it, you throw it on. Yeah. It doesn't matter where. If it's the last half hour, you know, it's 20 minutes in already, it's the middle of the movie, it doesn't matter. You're just like, oh, and you just put it on, just to put something on, and you just sit there, and then you just sit up watching it.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen it, you know what happens, but you're just happy sitting there enjoying it, watching it.
So, I'm pretty sure Tom didn't, but I didn't either write down my stuff in any particular order.
Like, no, none of these are in any particular, I mean, I will say probably my number one is.
So yeah, some are better than others, but these are just like the 10 that we consider. Like, if it's on, I'm watching it.
I'm going to click. Yeah, I'll watch that for right now.
So everybody else is like, okay, next episode. But I'll start off with one of mine, which is 22 Jump Street.
Really?
Not 21, because the most hilarious moment in both of those movies combined is when he sits down and Schmidt has been dating somebody. And he slept with her. And
and like Channing Tatum, like figures it out after like everybody. And the account's just like staring at him. Ice Cube's just giving him this look. And he goes, and he's like running around, like telling everybody. And
he's like, ah, you high-fived him for sleeping with your daughter. Ah! And he starts prancing around more. He goes and sits back down. And then Ice Cube just like points the gun at him. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, it's really not that funny.
It almost kind of makes me sad that they didn't do 23 Jump Street.
I know. I like how
they had something there.
At the end of the movie, they have like 22 or 23 Jump Street, 24, and it just keeps showing like chef school, culinary, art school, diving school, just random stupid crap.
That would be pretty funny.
But that movie is like to them two together in that situation is just.
It was a very good combo.
Yeah.
They fed off of it very, very well.
Yeah, and then having Ice Cube being like the straight man, like pissed off, you know.
Angry.
Yeah. And like when he shows up at their his daughter's like school dinner or whatever, and he's like, he meets Schmidt like there with his daughter for the first time, and he's like, he's like, I'm a pissed off, angry man, so I'm going to have me some green beans.
And he's just like smacking him on a plate. And Queen Latifah's just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this movie. Like, it's one of those, if I see it, I'll just finish watching wherever it starts at.
We'll just find out how this all pans out again.
All right. Well, what's one of yours?
Animal House.
Animal House? I haven't seen that in a long time.
Animal House to me, I mean, it's the pinnacle of a frat boy movie.
Well, yeah. It's an old movie now.
It's old, but it's still very timeless and very accurate.
It was old when we were young.
Well, yeah, it came out in 1978 or 79. But John Belushi, Kevin Bacon, I mean, Tim Matheson.
Yeah.
A slew of other, you know, 80s actors.
I do like when Belushi's sitting there. I forgot what he's doing, but he's sitting there. He's holding, like, the jar of mustard.
And he just dumps it on his...
He's like, what are you doing?
Or he's trying to cheer up Flounder, and he's like, yeah, like, you know, give him, like, the hand, like the jazz hands, and he grabs a bottle and just smashes it on the side of his own head. He's just like, clean. He's like, yeah. D-Day, or Bruce McGill, mm-hmm. where he just comes gunning up the stairs at the party, and he stops, and, like, he pops a beer, and he starts doing, like, the flicking his neck thing, and, like, playing it like an instrument.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like... It doesn't matter where you end up in that movie.
Or where they show up at the wrong bar.
Yeah.
they walk in and everybody stops.
Or where they're planning, like, they're, you know, they get kicked off campus, their charter gets revoked.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? And he's like, the Germans? And he goes, oh, forget it, he's on a roll. And, like, they just keep letting him go. It's like, no, he's right. What this requires is a really futile and stupid gesture. And we're just the guys to do it. And they're like, or just all of them going, toga, 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 toga. Like, there's so much of that movie and my college experience that it's, yeah, that was 78, but it was still happening in 2012 or 2011.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a funny movie. It's one of yours. It's not one of mine that I
picked. It's a funny movie that it doesn't matter where you get into it at. Like, if you see it on, there's nothing else. Like, you're gonna watch Animal House.
Yeah.
Especially if you've seen it. If you have no clue what we're even talking about and you've been to college, watch the movie. If you don't get it, you went to the wrong college.
I went to college. I wasn't in a fraternity, though, so it's all right. Downplay your movie. It's all right.
All right. Well, what's your next one then, Mr. You know?
The next one I have on my list is one that I put on this morning because I was like, you're just putting something on in the background. It's Rocky IV.
I thought Rocky IV, and I'm glad. Let me ask, do you have Back to the Future on there?
I do not.
Oh.
But yeah.
Well, that'll be an honorable mention. Rocky IV, that's the pinnacle of America versus the Soviet Union. Like, that and Miracle.
Yeah.
Like, but, or you know, Red Dawn.
Yeah.
But Rocky IV is, like, Hearts on Fire, where he's the workout montage. He's climbing up the mountain, the music. He loses the KGB guys. He gets the top. Drago!
Like, when Dolph Lundgren gets in there, if he dies, he dies.
I must break you. Poof! Like, slaps his hands. Like,
that, and, like, the whole story, like, you know, of Sylvester Stallone actually getting punched in the chest comes to mind.
Yeah, because, like, the production, like, they told, he's like, hey, let's just get, like, 10, 15 seconds of just good footage of us beating the snot out of each other. Like, don't pull the punches. Hit me. Like, I'm going to hit you. You hit me. This way we can edit and, like, yeah, different camera angles so they can put it in the fight. And Dolph Lundgren's like, you sure? He's like, yeah, come on. And then he punched him so hard in the chest, like, his heart swelled up, and he was in, like, the ICU for, like, a week because he almost killed him. It's like, oh, damn.
maybe we won't do that again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love watching that movie because it starts off at a little bit faster pace than the other Rocky movies because it starts off with, you know, he's coming in and
Rocky's, like, retired.
Yeah.
You know, he's wealthy, you know. He's kind of hung it up, and he's just, like, hanging out. He's, like, and Apollo's, like, coming back for, like, a celeb fight against this Russian guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll be your manager. And, like, he's training for it. He's, like, taking it lightly. And the guy's, and he's like, this guy's not taking this lightly.
Right.
Like, he's here to knock your head through the wall.
Yeah, he's going to prove a point.
And then the cool montage of them, like, working out. And, like, Rocky's just, like, lifting up carts full of rocks.
Yeah.
And, like, nets and running in the mountains of Russia. Mm-hmm. And, like, Drago's in, like, a state-of-the-art, like, Soviet facility. He's just getting injected with anabolic steroids as he's, like, working out. And you're watching him, like, punch. And, like, the PSI, like, his pounds per pressure per punch mm-hmm. is, like, going up into, like, quadruple digits. And it's like, oh, my God. The dude's a maniac.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy watching this movie. Because, like I said, it's got a good pace where mm-hmm. Now, the other Rocky movies,
awesome soundtrack.
The other Rocky movies are good, but this one starts off pretty quick mm-hmm. with Apollo's fight, and then his mm-hmm. training, and then their fight.
He grabs the picture off the mirror. He's like, "Hearts on Fire" is like the best workout song ever. Hearts on Fire
because
Mighty,
of Rocky.
Yeah, Hearts on Fire and then Mighty Wings by Cheap Trick from Top Gun. Top Guns, that's enough. Did you have Top Gun?
I did not.
Ah, Top Gun.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
All right. What's another one on your list?
Top Gun.
we'll say that one later.
Yeah, I might cross one off and add Top Gun. Caddyshack.
I can see that, yeah.
I could pick up Caddyshack wherever it happened. Ronnie Dangerfield is just too amazing.
I like when Bill Murray's, he's like doing like the...
He's like narrating himself while he's like hitting the flowers. It's the Cinderella story. The kids come out of nowhere. And it's in the hole.
It's in the hole.
He's just having his own little moment. Or where he's caddying for the priest and it's like lightning and thundering. And he's like, no, come on. And he's like, it's the best round I've ever played in my life. And he misses and he shouts, God damn it. With his club up and he gets struck by lightning.
Now, this is the same movie where Chevy Chase is going,
yeah, he's going,
okay, that's what I thought.
Where he's just tapping like all these random balls on the grid, like into the hole, like perfectly. He's like,
I couldn't remember if that was this movie or if it was something else. That
I think your club sucks. How about a Fresca?
Bill Murray's making like the little like clay animals out of C4.
To defeat my enemy, I must become my enemy. He makes like the dopey face and crosses his eyes. And like even like the Scottish like groundskeeper, he's like, I need you to go and kill all the gophers. He goes, if I kill all the gophers, they're gonna lock me up and throw away the key. He's like, the gophers. And he goes, oh yeah, we could do that. He's like, we don't even need a reason.
And then you see like the little puppet.
Yeah.
Running through the hole.
I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me. Roddy Dangerfield stole that whole movie. Because it was originally written, it was supposed to be like the Caddies. It was, you know, Caddyshack. But then they brought in, like, you know, Rodney. They brought in Chevy Chase. I can't remember the guy's name who plays Judge Smales. And then Bill Murray. But each one of them, like, was bringing so much to the table. Mm-hmm. And it was so much comedy and star power. They were like, we got to rework this. Like, they were rewriting the script, like, middle of the movie. And, like, redoing the entire thing. And, like, even Rodney, like, he was paranoid. Like, he was, like, losing it. Because, like, a lot of the other people didn't like him because he's, you know, he was funny. But, like, and he was stealing, like, a lot of their moments. But he was, like, Rodney would, like, freak out. Like, he'd do a take, and then, like, he'd come off, and he's like, I'm bombing out there, kid. Like, not the main caddy, but the other one who was, like, smoking and, like, worked out. And he's like, I'm bombing. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, we're dying. He's like, we can't laugh. We're filming. He's like, it's not a comedy club, Rodney. Like, you are annihilating out there, though. And he's like, all right. And he went back out there and, you know, obviously made, like, one of the best 80s comedy movies of all time.
Well, my next one, and it might be more of a personal thing for me because I just enjoy superhero stuff, but it's Batman 89.
You know what?
The original Batman.
I can see that for you.
Because, like, at any point on there, I love watching when they come in, like, the very first scene where you see Batman on the rooftop and he's, like, holding, he goes, I'm Batman.
Tell your friends about me. He's like,
or like the car chase after the art.
Yeah, even Jack Nicholson stole that whole movie. That, like, you wouldn't think him playing the Joker. Like, if you had no clue, you never saw the movie. It's like Jack Nicholson playing the Joker. Mm-hmm. Like, when would the 80s? Like, the late 80s?
Yeah.
It's like, what? And then you watch it go, no, he was.
And to me, one of my favorite scenes of all in a superhero movie is the Batmobile. After he saves Vicky Vale,
yeah,
and they're driving back to the Batcave. Although, like, they're driving down all those dark roads with just leaves everywhere. Mm-hmm. That to me, that's the almost awesome scene.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? Yeah, and he's like, "What?" He goes, "I don't know what it means." He goes, "I just like saying it before I kill people." He shoots him.
Yeah, I love that movie. I like when they're getting into the fight at the end, and he's like, "You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you?" <That's> so... He hits him in the mouth, and he like spits out his little chattering teeth.
Yeah, that was. He really did a great job. Like, you know, people talk about like Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Nicholson, he played like that. I don't really know like a great way to describe it, but like you knew he was evil. Mm-hmm. Like it oozed out of him. Like, yeah, he was being obnoxiously comical about it.
Yeah.
But you could see like that threatening layer snaking its way out.
In the scene where he comes into Vicky's apartment and like, Bruce is already there, but he comes in all
where gracious, he's talking, like, and then he smashes the thing.
Yeah, like you can see he's unhinged, but he's like all, you know, nice and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I love that movie. So
it's a good movie.
What's another one of yours?
Predator. Yeah, Predator.
We talked about that when we reviewed Predator. Yeah,
you can pick up Predator wherever you want.
Yeah.
End of the movie, the last 10 minutes, where Arnold fights Predator. The beginning, you know, where they're flying, listen to Long Tall Sally by Little Richard and the Hueys. Like, it is just. It's just a good watching movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And it's the most testosterone-fueled action movie you ever saw in your life. Like, no other movie has met that level. Because it's, you know, oh, cool, Special Forces guys. Oh, they're all Arnold. Yeah, all right, macho movie. And he's like, Dylan! And he get, like, the biceps and the forearms. They're just like, and everybody's just like, yeah.
Well, because at no point in that movie are you going to get in there and be like, okay, this is kind of slow and kind of boring. The whole thing is fun. It's just action. The whole, like, if it's not action, it's setting up the action.
And each character, about to happen. Like, you know, it's not like Arnold just overshadowing,
right?
You know, six other guys. Mm-hmm. Each one of them had a presence.
Yeah. They all had their own personality, their own contribution to the movie.
So. Exactly. And that's what makes it a good watching movie.
Well, on to my next one is Remember the Titans. Because I played football. I loved football. If I see that movie on, I can sit down and start watching no matter where.
I get goosebumps still when I see the movie and they're playing like it's like the last game. Mm-hmm. Or not the, like, it's like the second last game.
He's like, you're going to blitz
all night. Or he's like, not another yard.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too.
He's like, anytime they gain an inch, I'm taking each and every one of you out of this game. You blitz all night. You make them remember forever. The night they played the Titans, and I was like, where's my pads?
Well, I'm just listening to you, goofballs right there.
And I was just like, you know what? I'll suit back up and play free safety. Let me lay out one of those dudes. Put me on a safety blitz.
I mean, because there's another part, like, where when Rev gets hurt, and he's like, oh, I swear I audible. He's like, and so they put in Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Sunshine.
And he tells, not the fridge. I don't want to call him the fridge.
I know he's
you know
Frankie in Boy Meets World. But,
yeah, I can't remember his name. Or,
Ethan Suplee.
Yeah, I can't remember his name in the movie.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Basket? Bass? No.
That's Ronnie Bass.
Ronnie Bass.
Sunshine.
Lasket or something. Or
Lasky.
Lasky.
Yeah.
Where he tells him, he's like,
Louis Lasky.
Yeah, he's like, let him throw.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? He's like, let him throw.
And then, you know, like, the guy, he throws the ball, the guy comes to hit, and he like flips him over. And then, was it Petey walks up as a bad white boy?
Or they're playing, like, one game, like the opening, like they're on defense and the offense, like, was just lighting them up.
Yeah.
And Coach Boo's just like, who the hell do they think they are? The New York Jets?
And then I also like when they first go to camp and they
he runs them through Gettysburg. Well, or he runs them to Gettysburg.
Yeah. Well, there's that, but like when they're getting on the buses, he's like, oh, who's your daddy? Come on now.
You must be Jerry Lewis. That makes you Dean Martin.
There's that, and then when they finally get to camp, I forgot the two main guys. What's their name? The one that gets put in the wheelchair.
Gary.
Gary and
Julius.
Julius, that's right.
It's amazing how when you growing up in high school, like, you watch this movie three times a year.
I was excited. I knew Bertier, but I was trying to remember what his first name was.
Yeah, Gary Bertier.
But when the two of them first, you know, have to room together and they start fighting, and Ryan Gosling walks in, he goes, fight!
Yeah, goofy-looking Ryan Gosling.
So they all come in. He's trying to stay out of the way as everybody else starts fighting. He's trying to, like, get up against the door. He gets pulled in, too.
No!
I love that movie. And then, you know, then it's kind of, it's sad part. It's, you know, where at the end, because it starts off at the funeral and then it ends at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good movie. I really like it. And I actually found out it was actually filmed in downtown Covington, where me and my wife, we go there and eat at a restaurant because If you've ever watched like the show The Vampire Diaries, they have the Mystic Grill. Mm-hmm. So me and her would go there and we eat there. And I found out that that was actually filmed on that square as well, where he gets hit by the car. Mm. And when they're like walking around, after football games and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it was all filmed on that square. So that's pretty nice. Cool.
It's just a good watching movie.
It is.
What's my next one? I said, is it The Godfather?
I never the liked first Godfather.
Godfather Part 1, not Part 2. Or definitely not Part 3. Definitely not. No.
So tell me why, because I was never a big fan of Godfather.
Oh, there's just so much gravitas to every freaking scene in that movie. Like, it is just, like, overwhelmingly well done. It's perfectly shot, perfectly executed, perfectly acted. It's a benchmark that few have ever come close to. Everybody dominates in a scene. And then, like, there's certain scenes where, like, you know, you see, you know, obviously the beginning of the movie, you know, Martin Brando, Vito Corleone runs the Corleone family. Undisputed. Like, it opens at the wedding day where he's, like, you know, pulling, like, a godfather, like a Sicilian godfather stunt where, like, people come and ask him favors on his daughter, the day of his daughter's wedding. Today, on the day of your daughter's wedding. And, you know, his, like, whole motion, he's in the tux, the cat, the whole thing, like, how he effortlessly, he's that guy. Like, he is just that guy. You don't even see Marlon Brando. You just see Don Corleone. Like, that. He is it.
Yeah.
And then the great acting and transition of Michael, who didn't want to be part of the family business. He was at Dartmouth. Yeah, his older brother's a mobster. His other older brother, Fredo, he's a putz, but he's still a mobster.
He's a putz.
Yeah. The family, you know, one of the five families, one of the most powerful families in New York, you know, and he, you know, college boy, dropped out, joined the Marines, you know, like, I don't think he got the Medal of Honor, but like Distinguished Service Cross or something in the Pacific, comes back for the wedding, and then, like, you know, kind of like stuck with the family, and, you know, dad gets shot, you know, he protects him, you know, Sonny's going crazy, you know, he gets beat up, and then, like, the coolest scene to me is where they're all sitting there and they're trying to figure out how to get Sollozzo and killed, because he's the one who ordered the hit on Don Corleone, yeah, on Vito. And Michael's sitting there, and you see, like, this transition where, like, he's shot in light, and then as he's talking, like, it's he's suddenly shot in shade. Okay. Like, you see, like, the transition,
okay,
to where he's, like, now lined up with them, where he's just, like, you know, he's like, tell him we want to arrange a meeting. Tell him it's going to be somewhere, like, at a bar or a restaurant with his people, somewhere I feel safe. They're going to search me before I get there, so I can't have a weapon on me. If we have a weapon planted there in advance, have our people find out, our informants, I'll kill them both. And they were like, and then they start laughing, and then, you know, he goes through, like, you know, hey, it's like, we got, you know, it's a corrupt cop, he got caught up in the rackets and got what was coming. It's like, we got people on the payroll in the newspapers. It's like, maybe they like a story like that. And then Robert Duvall's like, they just might. And everybody's just, like, kind of looks, and, like, you watch the scene and everybody's just kind of like, Michael got the brains. Like, he, you know, Sonny was violence, Fredo was the putz, Michael was the true puppeteer of cunning. And then at the end where he, like, concedes, like, a lot of stuff, and then he has all heads of the families whacked simultaneously. And it's like, damn. It's just one of those, it's a long movie, so you pick up pretty much anywhere.
Okay.
But it's just one of the most well-done films you ever saw.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, a little bit of Godfather 2 where, like, he's like, make me another, I can't refuse. Is that number two?
That's the first one.
Oh, that's the first one. Okay.
Where that's where he introduces Diane Keaton, because she's like, who's that big guy talking to himself? And it's Luca Brasi.
Okay.
And that, he's like, it's Luca Brasi, it works for my father. It's like, it was something to do, and he's just like, you know, and so he's just told him, he's like, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. And she's like, what was the offer? Because it was like 10 grand he was going to pay him to just have this guy, like, released from a contract. And he's like, yeah, my dad got him to do it for $1,000. Like, how? He's like, made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Like, what? Luca Brasi held a gun to his head, and my father assured him, your brains or your signature can be on this paper.
Godfather's are good, but I was always more of a Casino and Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is another one that's right up there. I mean, Goodfellas is really one of these kinds of movies.
Those were always my.
There's a lot of them.
My mafia movies that I liked.
Yeah, Goodfellas. I mean, I float between which one I want to watch. Like, if I see both, I probably watch Godfather.
Okay.
But I mean, if Goodfellas is on, you know, hey, you know, my whole life, all I ever want to do is be a gangster.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get them on there. Look, we all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit seriously.
My next one is Encino Man.
Really?
You know what? Remember that movie, right?
Brendan Fraser,
Pauly Shore.
And, yeah, he's frozen. They thaw him, yeah. And they got like get him like back in like modern times. He's a caveman.
He's a caveman.
I haven't seen that movie in probably 20 years.
He's a caveman. He gets unthawed. He goes back to high school with him, and he's like squeezing the juice. And you got Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore, what a mess.
You got, you know, we went to the, Thunder Mountain, buddy. I always love that movie because, like, at any point, it's just comedic. To me, it's comedic gold because you got the part where he gets out and he's, like, fighting with him. He's, like, jumping on the bed and he turns on the little lighter. And he's like, oh, is it flame?
Fire.
And then, then he takes the flame or the lighter starts like making like a fire in the corner of the room. Mm-hmm. And the fire alarm goes off, and they all look at each other, and it like pans into each one of their eyes, and they go Then he storms off out of the room. Or when he's trying to learn how to fight, he starts watching WWF videos. Right. He picks up Sean Astin, puts him on his shoulders, starts spinning around in circles, and then just tosses him. He's like, and then like when he first walks in after being like brought back, he steps on the remote, and it's Austin Powers, Terminator shows up on the screen, and he's like, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Or like when they go to the ice rink, and the bully comes in, like confronts him, punches him in the face, and then the two like little nerdy kids to the side go, whoa, did you see that? The new guy took it. I love that movie. When he confuses the Radmobile for his driver's ed class. he pops the driver's ed car up on two wheels. You got Sean Astin's feet sticking out the other side because he jumped in the window.
I forgot Sean Astin was in that movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
I remember Sean Astin as the kid from The Goonies, Sam from Lord of the Rings, and the guy in the fishnet from 50 First Dates.
Mm-hmm. It's a smoothie.
Okay. I told you that I'd ordered something earlier. My wife just texted me. She thinks I have a girlfriend. Like I have another time. Like I have another, you know, enough.
You're living an altered life.
Yeah. I told her, I was like, you know, because I'd bought something that had some girl's name on it that got delivered from eBay. And she's like, I was just making sure it wasn't your girlfriend. Yeah. Like I got that kind of time. We barely have time, much less somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Like this is a lot of time, you know, management in the making for me and Mitch to sit here for a few hours and. Sorry, across the table.
I got this text in the middle of this. She was confronting me about why I had some other girl sending me a package. So it just popped up. Anyway,
you got some other girl sending you Megazords now? Yeah, what am I to you?
So I might have bought a few Megazords. I got Pyramidus.
I got one for my birthday. Mitch gave me one. I got the White Tiger Zord.
Yeah. I bought two of those.
I have wanted this since I was like 3 years old and I saw it on TV and on Power Rangers. Like I had a dream I owned it and I woke up and I was pissed that it was a dream because I wanted that Megazord. You couldn't find it. And now I'm 31 and I got it.
But anyways, I had bought Pyramidus and it got delivered while we were here. And she was wondering why I had bought something with someone's name coming. But anyways, after Encino Man, what's another one of yours?
The Great Escape.
Great Escape. That's the one where
Steve McQueen, James Gardner,
where they
Richard
dig,
Attenborough.
They dig underneath.
Yeah, they tunnel out of the camp.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard Attenborough, James Coburn, Charles Bronson.
I don't think I've ever actually seen the movie.
Main doctor guy, I think from Bones, the older guy from NCIS.
When I think of The Great Escape, though, I think of the guys from Top Gear when they're talking about it and they go and visit the movie set.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of movies about it, but I mean, it was a huge production. I remember seeing the movie and just being enthralled with it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter where I pick up in the movie.
How old is the movie?
It came out in 1960.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, I don't think it came out. I think it came out in like 1963 or 4. I'll tell you while I talk about it.
But yeah, I mean, this is the one where like they tunnel under and it like
yeah they
it,
had built
at times
they started three tunnels simultaneously, mm-hmm. and
they can only do a little at a time.
One yeah, they can only do a little bit at a time. But I mean, they had like in 1963 is when it came out. But they had like forgers, tunnel guys, like air ventilation, lighting. Like there was like a whole to do of like stooges and guys. Who, like, anytime the guards were going to come, like, some dude, like, put his pipe in his mouth, another guy, like, emptied a cup, mm-hmm. and then someone did one knock, and the whole thing stopped.
So they were inmates.
Yeah. I mean, they were prisoners of war. And, like, they get, you know, in the beginning, like, they bring, he's the group commander mm-hmm. over, he's the highest ranking guy.
Yeah.
Basically, and he's in charge of the other prisoners as their de facto because of rank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Germans are like, you know, every escape artist, like, this guy's escaped, like, 6 times, 10 times, 15 times. Mm-hmm. All recaptured. It's like, this time we've built a new camp to keep all of you under close observation. Like, these guys were specially trained to watch them.
But you put all of the escape artists in one spot and didn't think they were going to think of something?
It's like, we're putting all of our rotten eggs in one basket, and we intend to watch that basket very carefully. And it's like, oh, very wise. It's just like, you idiot. You just brought the entire, they call it like the X organization, mm-hmm. all of them together.
All the greatest minds now can work together to figure out a solution.
Yes. So,
instead of apart.
Like, these dudes are the best at getting out. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they all get recaptured, but I mean, it's you're escaping into a continent that's occupied. hundreds of miles every direction, Germans.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of them, they escaped. They executed 50 of them, which is true, I believe. Where like the SS just shot them. They were like, yeah, we're done. Mm-hmm. And then some of them escaped into Spain. Or, like, on a boat. Like, a couple of them got out, and then Steve McQueen's character, he gets brought back, and they call him the Cooler King, because that's what they, like, the whole is the cooler.
Okay.
Because, like, he does something, like, the first day they're there, and they're like, Cooler Lieutenant Hiltz, and he, like, flips up his collar, he goes, Captain. And he's like, 20 days. He just jumps in, and he's like, thank you. Takes his baseball glove, and he just goes and sits there and throws baseball against the wall all day. And the Germans are like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? But it's just kind of, you know, that and, like, The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Just one of those kinds of movies.
Okay. Well, my next one is Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
In any moment, because that movie's hilarious all the way through. So, well, especially when they're walking out of the bar.
He's just supposed to say freeze.
Or, like, the next morning he's walking to the convenience store, not
and it's like the same zombies. Sequence
yeah.
he did the day before. Everybody's like, he just doesn't notice. That's another one of those movies that's like, it's just so obnoxiously well executed. You're just like, God, you guys. I hope you guys realize how well you did.
Or when they have to try and get Pete's car, they're like, Pete,
let's just go up there. It's like, nah, he might be one of them. Or he might still be annoyed. And he just goes, oi, prick!
Or like when he meets the first girl that's a zombie, and she's like on top of
him. And he's like, look, I just got out of a relationship. And he's like, all right. And he's like on top of it. And it's like, he's like, smile!
Yeah. He's like, hold on, be right back. What?
And he's got the disposable camera. It's just so stupid.
Oh, I love that movie.
Go to Phil. Go. Steal Pete's car. Go to Liz's. Rescue Liz. Go to Mom's house. Kill Phil. Sorry. Poof. Go to the Winchester and have an ice cold pint. Wait for this whole thing to blow over. And it's like the music's like, din, 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 din.
Yeah, boy. Pink. Or like he has to go and jump the fence. He's like, what?
You never taken a shortcut? And he just eats it on the first one. And then like in Hot Fuzz, they do like the reverse where he's just like flipping over stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Nick Frost just storms and just takes out the whole panel.
And then it's a small scene, but when they get to, like, right before they have to get to the Winchester, he walks up the little slide.
And the camera does, he's like, I'm going to have a look. And he, like, it's like, duh. And you see his feet, he goes, duh, duh, duh. And it's like, how many? He's like, lots.
Yeah, he just looks very solemn, like, oh, no.
So, yeah, I'm just getting high ground. Take a look.
Or they finally sneak in and they're right there by the door. And he's like, hold on.
Oh, his phone rings. He's like, 2 seconds. And they're all just like, even the zombies are like.
Really?
Just staring at him. And he especially goes, oh, and he starts yelling at him. And then they look, it's like, guys. And the zombies are like, at least they were nice enough to let him have the moment.
Yeah.
They didn't just try to, like, you know, Walking Dead, just.
I love Shaun of the Dead.
Or they're beating the crap out of the bartender in sync to to the Queen to the song.
He gets stabbed in the head with the dog. Oh, that movie's great.
That's such a fantastic film.
What's your next one?
I put the first six Star Wars movies as its own.
Yeah, I could see that. I love Star Wars.
You know, I'll condense it to the original trilogy.
My only problem with Star Wars is that when I watch it, I want to sit down and watch the whole thing. I'm like, and I don't know if I have time.
Like, there's been times like, A New Hope is on, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Like, it just started. It's been 20 minutes. It's been an hour. Yeah. And it's like, oh, cool, Star Wars. And you just pick up. Like, you've seen the movies 100 times, if not 1,000 times at this point in your lives, if you're old enough, like us. Like, you pretty much can probably write the screenplay yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you had a time machine, you're going to go write Star Wars before George Lucas does. Like, it's just one of the, like, each one of those movies is just such a special moment to a lot of us.
I know a lot of people liked Empire Strikes Back, but I really liked Return of the Jedi a little better. Mm-hmm. I mean, Empire Strikes Back is amazing, but I just, for some reason, I liked Return of the Jedi because I like seeing Luke at the end when he's, like, angry.
Where he's hiding from Vader and Vader's reading his mind.
Yeah, but then he gets angry because he starts basically threatening his sister.
And he's like, nah.
To me, that was awesome.
And, like, the music.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, that scene. Goosebumps. Chills. Literal chills.
For one of the movies that doesn't, it's just a score without words to the music. It's it's one of the best scores, I feel like. Like, I like it better than Jaws and all those.
Or when they attack the Death Star the first time.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look at the size of it. Cut the chatter, Red, too. It's like, accelerate to attack speed. It's like, lock S flows in attack position. It's like, we're going to cut across the S and try to draw their fire. And it's like, they do even do, like, the airplane sounds. As they're, like, the X-Wings are flying across. And I was, oh, man, it's just so freaking cool. I want to curse, but I mean, it's just so cool.
I know Star Wars decided not to do it, but I would love to see like the squad, like the Rogue Squadron.
Rogue Squadron.
Because they were
Wedge Antilles, Luke Skywalker.
Well, because they talked about making it like a Star Wars Top Gun, basically. And
do they not realize how freaking cool?
Yeah,
that would be.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if you remember watching this part of The Mandalorian,
because that was one of the best video games of the 90s.
Well, there's a part of The Mandalorian where it's him and Bo-Katan and their ships like going in and out of canyons and stuff while some TIE fighters are chasing them. And that's an awesome scene. So it would make a great movie. Yeah.
There's the original Star Wars movies. Just they have it.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is, but they got it.
Yeah. That's why granted, I like the prequels now. And, you know, they were a little iffy when I first saw them, but they've grown on me. The sequels.
If Phantom Menace is on, and I'll look and see like how close are they fighting? How close are they to fighting Darth Maul?
Yeah, once the pod racer part's over.
Yeah, because like that whole entrance, it's like dun dun, shh, and like and like everybody just kind of like pauses, just like who the crap is this dude?
And then he puts
and then like
side.
And Qui-Gon just goes, "We'll handle this." Yeah. As like everybody's like, "Cool," because we don't know what's up with that guy.
Peace.
And then it's like because you're seeing like prime Jedi.
Yeah,
like. Thousands of years of training of Jedi, not like, you know, exiled and like, you know, fighting a little ball flying in the air, shooting lasers.
Yeah.
You know, and they like takes off the hood and like they both like all take off their robes. And it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Your first real fight that you're going to get to see.
Greatness.
Anyways, my next one is Warrior.
That's Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton?
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
I saw that for the first time when it came out on it was like DVD or Redbox or whatever. I rented it and I was like, dude, this movie is amazing. I ended up showing it like I watched it by myself. I showed it to my wife and then I showed it to my dad and my brother and I was like, this movie is great. It's about two brothers that are estranged because they grew up because of their home life. Then they basically come back together in this tournament that they just have to beat the crap out of each other to resolve things. But it's a really good movie and it keeps up the pace, kind of like the Rocky movies. It keeps up the pace where, you know, if they're not fighting, they're building up to the fight for the reason. And it's like you have the training part where Tom Hardy knocks out the guy in the ring,
Mad Dog or
something. Yeah, Mad Dog Grimes.
Some, like, you know, Chuckle Dell looking wannabe.
Yeah.
With a mullet. And it's just, and it's like, oh, like giving him the business. And then he just, you just watch Tom Hardy just beat the brakes off of him.
Well, yeah, because they don't know who Tom Hardy is at the moment. So he gets in there. He's like, yeah, I'll fight him, you know, for $200.
It's like, I'm here right now. It's like, this guy signed a waiver. It's like, yeah, it's like, all right, don't hurt yourself, kid. And he just beat the crap out of their guy.
Yeah. And he was like, one of the number one contenders. And he's like,
$200. Yeah. He's like, give me $200. And now even he goes to fight like the Arabian guy. And the dude, like, you know, the whole thing comes up. And Tom Hardy just walks, bam, one hit, done, knocked out, over. And he just walks out. Like, he leaves. And they're just like, where's he go? Like, you can't, it's like, nah, he's like, he knows he just knocked him out.
Because the movie does a really good job of, you have the one guy that's a juggernaut that goes through everybody. Mm-hmm. It's the one brother. Then you have the other brother that's the underdog in every fight. And mm-hmm. they do a good job of showing both of them and making you want to root for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and of course, they got to fight.
Yeah. And, you know, we know how that ends if you've seen it. But I won't spoil it for those who are waiting. So, what's your next one?
Heat.
Heat? I've never seen Heat either.
You've never seen Heat?
You've got a lot of movies. Well, I tell you about, that's the one with
Robert De Niro, Tom Sizemore, Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, yeah.
Al Pacino.
I have seen it, but I think maybe once.
Who else? There's a lot of people who are in that movie. John Voight's in it. William Fichtner's in it. Not Benicio del Toro. Danny Trejo.
Okay.
The Allstate guy.
The Allstate guy. that's his name, the Allstate guy.
Dennis Haysbert. It's a great crime movie. And I think they actually still show, even Hayden had brought it up, when they do one of the bank robberies and the robbers like getting the contact on multiple angles and like how they're moving between cars, firing, reloading, covering, the entire sequence like is shown mm-hmm. like to the military about how to execute it because they did it perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good plot. It's very interesting characters and it's just, you're watching, like, you know, titans of screen.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of it's Robert De Niro versus Al Pacino. And, like, they have a moment, like, the two of them meet. Like, Al Pacino, like, pulls him over because he plays the cop hunting his crew.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, he's like, you want to get coffee? There's a place up here. And, like, they sit and, like, they have, like, a meeting with each other. Mm-hmm. And, like, they talk about their lives and, like, what they're doing. It's like, if you're not willing to walk out on it in 30 seconds, like, you don't need to be doing this. And, like, they kind of have, like, a moment. It's like, hey, it's like, you know, if I got to put you down, like, I will. It's like, but I'm not going to like it.
Yep.
Like, they have, like, a respect that's, like, happening.
When was this movie made?
Like, 1995.
I couldn't remember if it was 90s or 80s.
It was 90s.
Okay.
But it's just one of those movies. Like, it's just, like, damn good. Like, you got, like, good. Like, you guys did a great job.
Okay. Yeah, because I've only seen it maybe once, maybe
I think twice. You, I don't know when you saw it, or how long it's been.
I have no idea.
You need to rewatch Heat.
Probably my dad watching it. That's when I saw it.
You need to rewatch Heat.
I'll give it a try.
Because that's just a damn good movie.
Well, my next one is John Wick. The original.
The Wick, yeah.
Because it's just a big fight, the whole movie.
Because that whole Baba Yaga scene.
Well, that's the second one, though.
No, the first one where...
Oh, yeah.
Numb Nuts, Theon Greyjoy.
Okay, yeah.
And... Yeah. His dad beats the crap out of him, and he's like, it's not what you did, it's who you did it to.
Yeah.
And he's like, who that effing nobody? He goes, that nobody is John Wick. It's like, they call him we call him the Baba Yaga. He's like, the boogeyman? He goes, well, he's not exactly the boogeyman. He's the one you send to kill the boogeyman. And it's just like, that whole exposition he gives.
Yeah.
To John Wick's character.
That tells you everything and nothing about him at the same time.
Like, this dude is beyond what you could think.
Yeah.
Like, he is horror incarnate if you're a bad guy.
But yet you still know nothing about him.
Like, you can't stop him. You can't reason. You can't deal with it. It's if he's decided you are done, well, that's it. It's just time.
This kid didn't help himself either.
No.
He killed him. He killed the guy's dog, stole his car from his dead wife.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Because like, I remember, like, I showed me and my brother, we saw the movie. We both loved the movie. We're like, John Wick, that's the coolest thing ever. We get it. We show it to my mom and dad, and my dad fell asleep because it was, you know, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
He's done. He was on the couch. He was in the position. He laid down. That was it. It was over. And my mom's just sitting there. She's just like, she hated the guy for killing the puppy. Mm-hmm. And she just thought it was like a cool movie. So at the part where he kills him, where he shoots him and he's just walking up and the guy starts talking. He just walks up, bam, and shoots him in the face. My mom's like, finally. She's like, he didn't even have to have a monologue, pointing, nothing. He just walked up, boom, done. Keep it moving. Next scene.
And really, the
original, and the fight in the club.
Well, I was gonna say,
that is so well done.
The original John Wick, that's the first time you really see Hollywood going into that much detail with, like,
with weapons.
Yeah,
use where the you gun. See him pick him up and, like, he flips it in his hand to put his fingers against the rear sights to slide it back to make sure there's a round chambered.
There's that. I mean, the way he's holding the gun, like, tactically doing
it. Yeah, how he's moving.
You just don't see that very often in Hollywood at that time.
In 2014?
Maybe.
2014, I think, is when that first one came out.
Now, since then, everybody's trying to be more authentic to what how you actually handle it.
Because nobody really gave a crap. They're like, it's a movie.
Yeah.
But then you watch it get done right and see, like, a response to it. Like, oh, this was...
You see the precision of his... It makes him look that much more, proficient in what he does. Intimidating and
formidable. Like, this dude clearly has, like, muscle memory you just can't get rid of at this point. Like, he is that guy.
All right, so what's your next one?
The Princess Bride.
That is a good movie.
It's The Princess Bride. It's one of the best movies ever made. It's one of the top 10 best movies ever made. I don't care about Citizen Kane.
I forgot about that.
Or 2001 A Space Odyssey. You put The Princess Bride and that on, what are you going to watch?
Yeah.
You're going to watch The Princess Bride. It's just, have fun storming the castle. Humpidink. Huh. Get back, witch. Not a witch, I'm your wife. Or it's just like, let me explain. Now there's too much. Let me sum up. That movie gets better every single time.
My name is Benicio del Toro.
Your name's not Benicio del Toro. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Sorry, you said Benicio del Toro earlier. It's on the brain.
That whole movie is just epic. Yeah. It's just, it's wonderful in every way. Dialogue is absolutely hilarious. What's the Cliffs of Insanity.
What's the one where he's talking about you never go into a land war with China? How's that go?
They're doing the Battle of Wits. It's like you fell for one of the great classic blunders.
Yeah,
it's like not as well known. It's like everybody knows that number one is like never going to a land war in Asia. It's like, but a second and slightly less well known is this, never going against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
He just dies.
Like the quotability, that entire movie
is
just hilarious. And like the fighting, the sword play is great. It's just a great movie. There's just, I don't know what else. I mean, I know we've talked about it. We did Princess Bride trivia like 2 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
And like Hayden was so excited.
I beat him.
Hayden got excited because he was like, and then I was like, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, and Hayden just beeped in. And he goes, morons. I was like, yes. He's like, woo. He was so excited.
I beat him because I was like, what was the name of the pirate, the Dread Pirate Roberts?
Yeah, Dread Pirate Roberts.
It was something.
What? He's my name is Ryan.
Yes, Ryan. That's right. That was the bonus question. Like, I beat him up.
Like, he took over for another guy, and that guy took over for the real Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah.
It's like he's been retired in the Caribbean for like the last 20 years, living off the fortune.
It's a great movie.
Oh, it's just, there's nothing wrong with that movie. You can't point out anything and be like, they did that. And like, no, there's not. It's airtight. Everything about it.
It's a great movie.
As you wish.
My next one is End of Watch. That movie, I love watching it just because you can see the parallels with what we do. You can see the parallels of the camaraderie between them. And
that sort of stuff, like the locker room nonsense of like,
Yeah, I mean, it's just, they're just two guys. And, I mean, all the stuff they come across just is happenstance. They just come across it and they're like,
some higher up kind of agency dudes are like, hey, like you guys need to like not, because these aren't these kinds of people.
Yeah, but I mean, the movie's really
good. These aren't your street level folks.
Well, because like the director actually rode around with some LA cops to
see how they do one where like they crashed, and that's because like they like that was real, like they totally crashed, like and they just kept it in the movie, which is nice that they had like that kind of realism.
Oh yeah, when they were
Chasing somebody.
Yeah, they were chasing like the van or something.
Yeah,
and they ran into.
And I think like their anti-lock brakes failed, and they were disabled or whatever, and they just slammed right into them.
But I love watching that movie, and I love watching anything with Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Pena. They're both hilarious.
They were good. They fed real, off each other. That was very believable.
Yeah,
watching the two of them in those roles,
they weren't like, you know, Bruce Willis as the cop. They were they seemed at that time of their careers, they seemed like just, you know, everyday guys that could be cops. So what's your next one?
My next one, Van Helsing.
Van Helsing,
because we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good movie. Some of the CGI I don't feel like holds up. Like the werewolves look awesome, but I feel like the Dracula CGI, like their prosthetics,
yeah,
don't
really
hold up. Because like the his brides or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of like they were hot. But I'm not a big fan of like their prosthetic leg things that they would change into the leathery wing looking things.
Yeah, I mean, here's the Van Helsing's a very fun movie.
Yeah.
There's no wasted scene. Mm-hmm. It's beginning to go fun. It's just a fun movie.
Yeah.
Everything about it, like the lore about it, the werewolf transformations, the weapons,
going after
the acting.
What's the monster at the beginning?
Oh, he goes after Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
And he like takes his hat, and it's just like barely like sitting on top of his head because his head's freaking huge.
Yeah,
and he like cuts off his arm, and then like as the dude falls, he turns back into Dr. Jekyll and then yeets it.
Yeah,
and it's like, you killed him, Van Helsing. And then like they got to send him to Transylvania.
Yep.
And then, like he's gonna like kill like, the entire town because they're like following him because it's like, what are you doing here? Like, you're not from around these parts, are you? Which way's town? Back the way you came. And then you find out he's actually like the angel Gabriel.
Yeah.
And he's like the left hand of God. And it's like, oh, okay.
It was cool to like, for that time period of the movie, mm-hmm. to see like these gadgets and stuff that they made.
Mm-hmm.
Like the basically like
the automatic crossbow.
Yeah, the chain gun crossbow.
Which was really cool. The holy hand grenades.
Yeah. He had like the little like saw blade things that he would hold in his hand.
Which was really. He even had a video game. The video game was good.
I never played the video game.
My brother had it. He wouldn't let me play it, which dick move. But I mean, there was like a demo for it I had that I played. That was you're just basically unstoppable killing machine. You're just, you know, pistoling people or just cutting people up with the rotary blades, like saw blade things. I mean, it's just a well done. It's a well done action, I guess horror mm-hmm. film,
yeah.
Fantasy, like that has a really good. Probably a perfect blend of comedic element.
Okay.
Like everything, like it ticks off all the boxes. Like you want some horror? Like, yeah, you can get that. You want action? Plenty. You want some laughs? We got it. You want some this? You want some that? You want some Kate Beckinsale? It's there. Even though she dies on a couch. Woman got the crap beat out of her the entire movie. Mm-hmm. She's getting dropped multiple stories from buildings, thrown around, crashing through stuff, breaking wooden timbers. She goes and Wolverine Hugh Jackman, or like werewolf Hugh Jackman, like backhands her onto a couch. Dead. Dead. That's like the one thing I was like, come on, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I was thinking that she lived, but I guess not. I guess you're right. Yeah. Okay. My last one, and for me, it's a personal one of mine.
It's Ninja Turtles.
My number one. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it's this is the original Ninja Turtles.
I excluded Lord of the Rings.
Mine's the original 1990s Ninja Turtles because that movie, it's got so many quotable lines. You know, like, he's like, a wise guy said, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza. I love it.
30 minutes or less.
tell me you didn't pay money for this. He gets hit with a Jose Canseco bat. Yeah. I love this movie. It's a great movie. I know there's not a whole lot to say about it because you're like, yeah, oh well. But, I mean, there's at any point I can watch because I love watching the fight scenes when they're in April's apartment and Raphael's like fighting on the top of the roof and he's like, come on, how do you guys expect to beat me? All the foot soldiers start creeping towards him. He's like, good answer. Good. Because he's like beating them up for like 20 minutes. And then eventually they all just decide just to dogpile him.
Just rush him all at the same time.
And then that's when he gets thrown through the skylight after being beat up. It's pretty cool. I love that movie. And then when Casey Jones, he shows up, they're like all in the middle of fighting in the dark, you know, all this stuff. And he bursts through the door and everybody just stops fighting and they look at him. And the music, like you have like the guitar riff. And he's like, so what you doing with my little green pal over there? And he looks over and goes, oh, who's the babe? Because it's April.
Hey.
I love that movie. It's my favorite movie of all time. So, what's your last one, Tom?
The Hunt for Red October.
That's the one.
Sean Connery, Sean Alec, Connery. Alec
yeah.
Baldwin.
Yeah. I've seen that movie too, but it's only been like one time. Your list is a lot different than mine.
Yeah. I mean, The Hunt for October, like, I know for a fact, like, this is probably my mom's favorite watching movie. Okay. Like, if you were just like, what's like, it's The Hunt for October. She can write the script from memory. Like, and would probably be only two words off. That's how many times. But I mean, I've seen it like, you know, half as many times. And it's just one of those movies. It doesn't matter where you pick up, if it's the beginning, if it's the middle. You got Alec Baldwin, you got Sean Connery, you got Sam Neill, what's his face? Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
James Earl Jones.
Oh, okay.
The principal from...
I didn't know James Earl Jones was in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, the whole movie's just, like, it's just good. It's just awesome the entire time. And, like, you even get Alec Baldwin doing a Sean Connery impression in the movie. It's like, be careful. These things don't react well to bullets. He's like, neither do I. As he's, like, crawling through, like, the missile silo part of the sub to get to the saboteurs trying to set off a nuke
okay.
and destroy the submarine. Have you seen the movie recently?
I think
do you know the premise?
I think I may have seen this movie one time.
All right. Sean Connery is captain of the Red October, Soviet ballistic missile submarine.
Yeah.
Different class, has what they call Caterpillar Drive.
With his Scottish accent.
Yeah, they didn't even care. And it, you know what? It doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. It's still that awesome.
Okay.
But the Caterpillar Drive is like electromagnetic displacement that like sucks water in. It's basically like a jet engine underwater.
Okay.
And it's virtually silent. There's no moving part.
Okay.
Like, you know, the rotors of
yeah.
sub-propellers. Alec Baldwin plays Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan? Oh.
Yeah.
Like the Jack Ryan?
Yeah, like
Tom,
that Jack.
Tom
that,
Clancy Jack
yeah, Ryan? Yeah, okay. Tom Clancy Jack. This is a Tom Clancy book.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
He plays him. He gets whisked away to Washington. He meets Admiral Greer, who is James Earl Jones.
Okay.
Who tells, he's like, you know, oh, he's like, yeah, you know, they're talking about it. And he goes, he's like, he just put the Red October to sea this morning. And like, uh-oh. And like, he's like at like a meeting, the Joint Chiefs, generals, admirals, all these people. And they're like giving this briefing. And then he realizes that Ramius, or Captain Ramius, who's Sean Connery's character, is trying to defect. And like, he brings it up and like, he puts like a general in his place. Cause he says, and like the guy who's like sitting there leading the meeting at the end, he's like, hey, he's like, continue. Dr. Ryan. And then, like, they have a powwow where it's just like, you know, he's like, you know, hey, he's like, we have to try to make contact. It's like, someone has to meet him and, like, you know, figure out, like, you know, what his real intentions are. And it's like, if they get one snip, the Soviets figure this out, game's over. Like, they're just, because the Soviets had already deployed their fleet to find the Red October and destroy it. Because he sent them a letter, I'm out.
Yeah.
And they were like, ooh. No. So then you have the Americans trying to find him and help him. And it's just this whole, like, cat and mouse game. And then there's, like, you know, naval tactics that happen. It's like they get shot at with a torpedo. And the USS Dallas's captain's on the Red October with Sean Connery. And he tells Ryan, like, turn to this.
Okay.
And he's like, don't do it. He's like, he's turning us right into the direction of the torpedo. Like, we're head-to-head with it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he just looks at Ryan, just says, like, you know, the numbers one more time. And he's like, accelerate. You know, maximum. He's like, give me 110 on the reactor or 115. And so they're just gunning it at the torpedo. And it's like, and like, they're like detonation and, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, now. And like, it just, the torpedo explodes. Like, it just disintegrates off the front of the ship. And he's like, what happened? He's like, combat tactics, Mr. Ryan. So like, by turning the torpedo, he cut the distance before it could arm itself.
Huh.
And it's just like, who knows some stuff? Huh? Sean Connery does. Sean Connery does. And then, you know, one ping and one ping only. That's probably one of those movies. It doesn't matter where you pick up. You're just like, hey, The Hunt for Red October.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. I think I hadn't. I don't remember if I mean.
There
I
was, is one more movie I would like to talk about, though.
Okay.
That we brought up.
What's that?
Top Gun. there, that movie's just cool.
Yeah.
There's just nothing awesome. There's Mighty Wings, Danger Zone, sunglasses. I feel the need, full speed.
It is a good movie. I love that movie, too.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's currently 115 degrees. Holy, it's Viper. He's probably saying, holy, it's Maverick and Goose. Yeah, I'm sure he's saying that.
I like when he's like, I'm going to buzz the tower. No, I don't think it's a good idea, man. And then he spills it. And what's the guy's
the
name?
The coffee.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, God. Yeah, I love that movie.
And then he's getting yelled at, and he's yelling at Viper, and he storms out of the office and crashes into another sailor who's carrying a trick.
I like, want some
he's
butts!
Like, he's like, damn it, that's twice! It's like, yeehaw, Jester's dead. I mean, watching the F-14s just fly,
yeah,
that's like majestic.
It is nice.
That's like men made that. Dudes figured out how to make that happen. And that's just a beautiful. I mean, there's some things that you look at. It's like you look at an old plane, like, yeah, it's nice. But you look at like an F-14 at full tilt with the wings swept back or whatever and the dual thrusters. It's like, man, that's just beautiful. That's just art flying about. And it has missile capability and guns. Iceman. Well, everybody had cool names. Maverick, Goose, Iceman, Slider, Wolfman, Hollywood, Viper, Jester, Sundown, Merlin, Cougar. Like, this is, everybody had a cool name.
I get it, Tom. I get it. We got to move on.
All right, fine.
All right, moving on to our news. We only got a few minutes here. The DCU has announced a new movie that they're going to work on that's going to be a live action that I don't think was originally announced.
Nightwing.
Well, he's going to be in it, accordingly, or apparently, is the Teen Titans. They're going to make a movie of that, which it'll feature those characters, supposedly, which is Nightwing, Cyborg, Raven, Donna Troy, and Starfire.
No Beast Boy?
Sorry. And then, Kid Flash? I don't know if Beast Boy will be in it or not. I don't know.
Beast Boy should be in it.
It's going to be made by the, or written by the Supergirl writer, Anna Naguara. I can't pronounce her last name. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, it's in production, or not production, but it's you know, stages of being written. Netflix is Rebel Moon by Zack Snyder. The first part came out in December.
Mm-hmm.
This part two is coming out in April, on April 19th. It was a good movie. It was interesting to watch. It's like a more R-rated Star Wars kind of thing. So it was interesting. I'll watch the second one to see how I like it.
How they pan it out.
There's another old school fantasy movie that's being remade. Can you guess an old school fantasy movie?
How old school?
Like 80s.
80s fantasy movie.
Yeah.
Like fantasy or like fantasy. Spacey fantasy. All right, fantasy. Willow.
No.
Was it like the Darkstone or something like that?
Nope, that's the Dark Crystal. But
the Dark Crystal. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
It's not that.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Nope.
80s fantasy. Not The Princess Bride.
No.
Oh, thank God. Give me an actor. Give me something.
I couldn't tell you one.
Thanks. But this is a popular film?
Yeah, it's fairly popular.
The Neverending Story.
Yes. Supposedly it's...
If I got to go through Artax dying again, I'm not doing it. I can't do it again. I'm still recovering. That was 15 years. It was 25 years ago.
I mean, supposedly... They're remaking, I think it says Entertainment Weekly, is saying that they're making a new adaptation of the original Neverending Story movie.
So why can't they just leave stuff alone?
We'll see how that goes.
Ugh. Ugh.
Who knows? They've announced the release date for the new Alien movie, Alien Romulus, which supposedly has gotten like good reviews as far as people that have, I guess, worked on it and mm-hmm. seen parts of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they worked on it. They're going to be biased.
But it's...
Alien Covenant wasn't that great.
Ridley Scott is the producer, and then it's Fede Alvarez, which is the director from the movie Don't Breathe and The Evil Dead.
Okay,
is he's the director of the movie.
All right,
but it comes out in August on August 16th.
I haven't seen a trailer or anything.
They do have a trailer because I had.
Oh, it's just like the.
This is just the picture, but they do have a trailer for it. I think.
Those aliens need bibs. They're drooling all over the place.
And there's a new video game coming out, a new Marvel video game called 1943, The Rise of Hydra.
Ooh.
And it's got a trailer for it. And when we get done here, I can show it to you. But it's basically Captain America trying to stop Hydra from rising.
Is it the original Black Panther?
Yes. Well, not the original, but it's one of the ancestors.
It's not T'Challa.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
that'd be interesting.
Something like... in the trailer, something's happening where like World War II is like building up, getting ready to start.
Well, 1943, World War II is already okay, like 4 years deep.
Oh, well, some reason my math is off then.
World War II started in 1939.
Okay. Well, anyways, it's during World War II, and Captain America is trying to stop Hydra from, you know, becoming a thing. And Black Panther, mm-hmm. somehow he's tied into it to where he knows about it. So Black Panther's trying to stop it. Well, Captain America knows that Black Panther's working on something. Like, he knows there's this person out there that he's, like, right on the heels of.
Red Skull.
When he's trying to stop. Like, he sees evidence that Black Panther's been out there doing stuff, mm-hmm. but he doesn't know who he is yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of like confrontation between them. And
then they team up. And
yeah, it's going to have something like that.
Like the Master Chief and the Arbiter.
So it'll be pretty cool. Supposedly, it just says 2025 at the moment. But, like I said, they have a trailer. I haven't seen any gameplay. It's just like...
I want to wait and see some gameplay.
But it does look like... Like, the story at least looks like it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see how that one turns out, but yeah, I'm excited to see that one.
I'll check that out.
But that's all I got for now. So.
That's all I got. All
right. Well,
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Entertain This. We'll catch you next time. I'm Tom.
I'm Mitch,
and we'll see you next episode.